Hi, I'm Dave Scott. Welcome to Living by the Words of God.
Hi, I'm Carrie Scott, and I would like to welcome you also. Today we are in Part 2, Lesson 7, Biblically Wrapped or Biblically True, 2 Peter 1:20. First, you must understand this. No prophecy in Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Let me give an overview. Our highlighted resource is an exhaustive concordance. We will also examine how to effectively use cross-references. And while doing this, bring our attention to a very important issue. Is the message I am sharing or listening to biblically wrapped or biblically true? One more note before Dave begins. Because of the greater length and type of content in Lessons 8 and 9, we would like to offer to print and send these two lessons to you free of charge. Lesson 8 deals with diagramming and parallelism. Lesson 9 introduces us to the ladder of abstraction. In spite of these terms, please understand that both of these subjects are worthy of your time and can be a tremendous asset in your pursuit of truth. Dave is also going to put these on the website for download. But for those who do not have internet access, you may call us locally at 466-9503 or toll-free at 1-888-419-4418 for your printed copies.
What I want to do in this lesson is to blend our discussion of our highlighted resource and exhaustive concordance with our topics of interest, cross-referencing, and is the message biblically wrapped or biblically true. Through cross-referencing, we will visit two ancient groups of people and observe their religious direction and the words spoken to them by God's representative. With the truth we discover, I hope to then visit our present world, our lives, and see how this relates to us. Our first visit will take us to ancient Judah, around 590 BC, where we find Ezekiel speaking to the Jews during a tumultuous period of conquest and captivity. Fast forward about 600 years, and we arrive in Israel at the time of Christ. Here we eavesdrop as Jesus speaks of gaining entrance to heaven and building lives on the proper foundation. However, before we do that, please let me say a few things about an exhaustive concordance and cross-references in case someone listening is not familiar with these things. An exhaustive concordance is an extremely valuable tool for Bible study. I would describe it as a large reference book with an alphabetical listing of every word in the Bible. Uses of a concordance are finding that elusive verse, finding related verses, cross-references, finding root meanings of words, finding the various ways the word is translated in the Bible. With a concordance, you can find any word in the Bible, the verses where it is found, and even some information as to its Hebrew or Greek roots and meanings. And you can do this with no special skills or training in the foreign languages. There are many benefits to using a concordance, but I would offer a major caution concerning misuse. In a concordance, we will find many verses which merely seem to be related. The person studying the Bible only to prove a point or bolster an argument can be easily overcome by the temptation to use non-relevant verses to overwhelm the recipients of their teaching by sheer numbers. We have all seen it. More time spent listing and reading cross-references than actually finding what the various texts say. This would be an example of a biblically wrapped message, but more on that in a little bit. Next, let's look at what a cross-reference is. A cross-reference is a verse which is related or connected to another by comparison or contrast, and which increases our insight by studying both passages together. Cross-references can be associated by a word or by a concept. Biblically wrapped or biblically true. Essential to honoring God with lives of truth is learning to discern the difference between what I call a biblically wrapped message and a biblically true message. Sometimes we hear a message preached that sounds very biblical, not because it is actually true or biblical, but because of the way it has been presented, the way it has been wrapped with emotion and or biblical information. The biblically wrapped message is constructed to appeal to what we already believe, or at least think we believe, and to what we want to believe. A biblically wrapped message is where we take our idea, our religious thought, wrap it in Bible verses, and proclaim, "Thus says the Lord." The person doing this may even believe he is speaking for God. My observation has been that what many preachers refer to as expository preaching sounds more biblically wrapped than biblically true. If I were teaching today's lesson in person right now, I would hand out a two-column paper, with Ezekiel 13:1-15 on one side and Matthew 7:13-27 on the other. I would also have two columns on a whiteboard where we could write down our comparisons. I will repeat those texts in case you want to turn to them, Ezekiel 13:1-15 and Matthew 7:13-27. As we proceed, I believe you will agree that the similarities and parallels are amazing. Last week I gave an overview of Bible study software. Now would be an excellent time to use this tool in a simple way. Reference Ezekiel 13 and copy it to your clipboard, then paste it into your word processor. Then reference Matthew 7, copy it, and paste it in an adjacent column. This is a very effective way to observe and compare. Find the matching words and concepts. Some I found were false prophets and prophets with false visions, rain, wind, collapsing structures, and exposed foundations. Now, you may want to divide a sheet of paper in two columns, one for Ezekiel and one for Jesus, and write down your observations, such as, in each column we have a structure that collapsed. In the Ezekiel column, this is a wall, and in the Jesus column, this is a house. We would write rain and wind in both columns. Write down these basic observations. This sounds like nothing, but God blesses our honest, simple efforts. This is what we sometimes don't understand. And as a result, we try to be profound and intellectual or spiritual, and we overlook a powerful process that opens us up to God's thoughts. Weak, then strong. Humility, then grace. So write down the obvious. A wall is destroyed by a storm in Ezekiel. A house is destroyed by a storm in Matthew. God will build the intrigue. Closer observation yields that both structures were built by people professing to have a relationship with God, and especially in the Matthew account, we observe a close connection with hearing the words of God. What is interesting is that the people Ezekiel addressed also had a real desire to hear the words of God. We don't find that explicitly from this text, but we do observe this in Ezekiel 33:31-33. Another cross-reference, by the way. Now, let's go to our virtual whiteboard, or at home on a sheet of paper, and make five columns. Speaker, time period, audience, text, and subject. In the first row, I would have Ezekiel as the speaker, about 590 BC, audience Judah, text Ezekiel 13, the subject, religious condition, looking ahead to judgment. In the second row, across it would go Christ, about AD 30, Israel, Matthew 7, religious condition, looking ahead to heaven. And in the third row, speakers would be Ezekiel and Christ, time period would be now, AD 2005, USA, texts Ezekiel 13 and Matthew 7, subject religious condition, looking ahead to heaven. With this overview, I hope to have piqued your interest. So now, why don't we pursue some specifics? One of the first things that stood out to me in the Ezekiel text was a question. Where's the paint? The people asked the prophets this funny question. Where's the paint?
Ezekiel 13:12. When the wall falls down, people will ask them, where's the paint that you used to cover the wall?
You see, in Ezekiel's day, the people had a system of religious belief that worked out that suited their needs quite well. They would build a flimsy wall of belief, and the prophets would dress it up with God words and promises of assurance, peace, and security. But now that their world is unraveling, they want to know what happened to the lofty proclamations of peace and the grand promises of prosperity and security. Now that everything they had spent their lives building has collapsed in a heap, they ask, where are your promises now, you prophets of Israel?
Ezekiel 13:10, the fact is that they've lied to my people. They've said, no problem, everything's just fine, when things are not at all fine. When people build a wall, they're right behind them, slapping on whitewash.
Then, as now, people in rebellion still wanted God involved in their lives. They loved the sanctuary of God and its associations and activities more than they loved God. Church was their strength and delight. As a result, God said he would desecrate the building they so loved.
Ezekiel 24:21. Tell the family of Israel, this is what God the Master says. I will desecrate my sanctuary, your proud, impregnable fort, the delight of your life, your heart's desire.
Then, as now, people in rebellion still want God involved in their lives, but they did not realize that their foundation was faulty and would one day collapse. So they cry out to the prophets, "Where's the paint? Where are your promises and assurances now that God's wind, rain, and hail have torn down our wall and exposed its foundation?" You see, we have a hurdle to get over. We judge the world for believing in numbers, but we do the same thing. We believe that if a large number of professing Christians agree on something, then it must be true. If it is accepted in our Christian books and seminars, if we embrace it on Christian radio, then it must be true. We believe that thousands gathering in a stadium professing Christ proves righteousness, but are we examining the foundation? In our Matthew 7 text, Jesus says this.
Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we force out demons and do many miracles by the power and authority of your name?" Then I will tell them publicly, "I've never known you. Get away from me, you evil people."
Many, that's the word Jesus used. Many will say to Christ on that day, "Lord, Lord, didn't we?" Note that Jesus drives off a specific group, people who had religious lives but faulty foundations, people who used God words, people who had performed religious deeds. In Matthew 7, Jesus explains why their lives ended in tragedy. They didn't enter at the narrow gate, they listened to the wrong people, and as a result they built their houses on sand. First, they didn't enter at the narrow gate.
Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
They listen to the wrong people. What happens is that people miss the narrow gate, but because they really prefer the broad way, they rationalize and are primed for deceit.
Matthew 7:15-17. Beware of false prophets. They come to you disguised as sheep, but in their hearts they are vicious wolves. You will know them by what they produce. People don't pick grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles, do they? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a rotten tree produces bad fruit.
They somehow thought they could pick a grape from a thorn bush, or a fig from a thistle. So it was no wonder that in their foolishness they built their houses on sand.
Matthew 7:26-27. Everyone who hears what I say but doesn't obey it will be like a foolish person who built a house on sand. Rain poured and floods came. Winds blew and struck that house. It collapsed, and the result was total disaster. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the person who does what my Father in heaven wants.
Sorry if I appear too cynical, but someone right now is probably reaching for the paintbrush as I speak. Some very uncomfortable words are causing your wall to shake. It needs a little reinforcement, so we'll get a few people together and paint for a while. Maybe over some coffee, or pick up the telephone. Just enjoy some fellowship and paint. Whew, that's better. Some words of assurance until this disturbing message is a faint memory. Or you can check the foundation.
2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves and find out if you are really true to your faith. If you pass the test, you will discover that Christ is living in you. But if Christ isn't living in you, you have failed.
When I put new siding on our house several years ago, I found that I had to use 3.5-inch nails to penetrate all the layers so the siding would be secure. No way would I have guessed this, but I listened to people who knew. I needed long nails that would go deep enough to hold. Using a larger number of short nails would not have done the job. I mean, it would have for a while. I could have invited family, friends, and neighbors to come over and admire how nice it looked. But one day the wind and rain would come, and it would not stand the test. I would encourage you today to listen to someone who knows. That person, Jesus Christ, would tell you this. Enter by the narrow gate. Listen to the words of God and obey them. Build on rock.
Remember, you may contact us at 1-888-419-4418 or on the web at livingbythewordsofgod.com.
Hey, if you need help tearing down that flimsy wall before it's too late, give us a call. Thanks for listening. Dave and Carrie Scott, livingbythewordsofgod.com.